The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And each week we rotate through different growth strategies, industries, and geographic locations. And as a reminder, it's a peer-to-peer-to-peer program where the hosts, the guests, and the listeners, we're all CEOs or presidents of mid-sized companies, typically between 20 and 200 million. So it's not consultants and lawyers and academicians and authors and speakers trying to sell you services. It's us talking about what it's really like to live this journey. So I'm doing a series on differentiation because I'm noticing there's some folks that are working awful hard just trying to do the same thing everybody else is doing, just a little bit better, and boy, is that a hard way to go. And if you can take some time to really figure out a unique thing, if you want a book to read, read Blue Ocean Strategy. I think the thing's fabulous. It really gives you that concept, that idea of how do you find, you know, don't go competing in shark-infested, bloody waters. You're really looking for Blue Ocean, a place where someone else is not playing, and do something truly unique. And in a few minutes, I'll introduce my guest, who I think kind of walks the talk of how do you really live, finding something unique and following through. And it has a very different momentum when you do that. So just for some of the people who are struggling, you can get to 20 million, you know, trying to do what the other guy's doing a little bit better. But your profit is probably tight, and in the market the way it is and the way the finances are, you could be struggling pretty hard. So my first suggestion is take the time to do some market research, take the time to do some strategic planning, rethink this, and if you can find a unique way to do what you're doing, you could have a little less feeling like you're pushing a rock uphill, or as one of my clients calls it, pushing rope. If it starts feeling like that, it's probably about differentiation. All right, so now what would you do? I want to give a couple of steps related to how can you tell if you're truly differentiated. Well, it's going to sound like double talk, but one of the things is, is your marketing feeling like a magnet? When people do the search engine optimization, they check you on Google, et cetera, they put in key phrases, do you pop up without having to buy the presence? If you're truly unique, if you're like Joe Calloway says, a category of one, when they're looking for what you do, you'll pop up without having to pay for people to have, you know, you in their head. Are you unique or not? And if, you know, so let's say you're an accounting firm. They're a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. But if you're the absolute best in valuation and you truly know how to get that process done objectively, quickly, when people are looking to buy and sell, if you've got that down to a science so it shrinks the negotiation process and they don't have to nitpick and worry that you don't know what you're talking about and how do you value goodwill and, you know, the thing goes on and on. It's an irritant. If you really excel at valuation, it can lift the search engine optimization for finding you as an accountant. Yeah, you do taxes. Yeah, you know how to read a P&L. Yeah, I get that. And you've got the spreadsheet jockeys. But if you could do something like valuation and really make that thing sing, that differentiator could lift you on internet search. Follow it? So first thing is just do the gut check on your marketing. Does it feel like it's expensive? Does it feel like push? Does it feel like you're shoving, trying to get heard above all the noise, as a Dick Brusso would say? Are you really screaming at the top of your lungs, look at us, look at us, look at us, with your marketing? That's expensive. And it wouldn't necessarily change your situation. It might make you resent marketing instead of enjoy it. That's your first test. Second is, how much are you listening to what the marketplace is telling you that they need? Because if it's already in the minds of the marketplace, it's a problem they have. They're not satisfied with what they currently get. I like market research that intentionally looks for complaints. Because today's complaints and problems are tomorrow's solutions and your solutions, your products, for you to make money. So what are people whining about? If they're traveling, for example, are they frustrated with the airplanes? Oh, yeah. Are they frustrated with how security's done? Oh, yeah. Are they frustrated with how they can't figure out that it's hard to understand the languages? Oh, yeah. Is it hard to understand the different mentalities in each of the countries? Oh, yeah. Is it hard to understand the money differences? Now, just the irritation level that we want this somehow to be easy. Just pick that as one example. I travel a lot, and I see some folks that don't travel enough, you know, as much as I do. You can see their nervousness. You can see that the patient's wearing thin. You can see their frustration. Something's missing. There's got to be several businesses that are possible just from the level of irritation of travelers. It can be a different approach to the airlines itself. It could be a different approach to security. It could be a different approach to language acquisition. It could be a different approach to learning culture. It could be all of the above. It could be seamless travel. Do you follow me? Look for where there is discontent, dissatisfaction, something slowing down, a bottleneck, where there's a hint, there's an unmet need. Follow it? So first, look at if it's really hard for your marketing to get across, if it doesn't feel like a magnet. And secondly, look for problems. All right, now let's combine those two things. What I like is marketing that poses problems. If it puts people in the moment, it's almost like theater. People will recognize themselves if they can feel the pain. So if your blog entries or your social media or your print advertising or your direct mail, whatever you do, if it poses some pain, if it suggests to somebody, you know, are you just so fed up traveling? Are you trying to figure out the language? You've traveled a lot and it still seems to get your nerves, your blood pressure going up. Put them in the moment. Put somebody in the moment so they feel the need for what you do. Let's try another analogy or example. There's all kinds of little trucks going by that can pick up junk. There's volunteer services that take your donations and give them to vets and to Salvation Army, et cetera, et cetera. But what did the company that really stands out in your mind do? I just let it sit for a second and think about it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Isn't that the one that comes up to mind? All right, why? Is it that they have more trucks? Is it that their junk is any better than anybody else's junk? Is it that they dispose of it any better than anybody else, maybe? What they did is they took the first two concepts of you've got a problem, you got junk. An awful lot of people got junk. One person's junk is somebody else's great stuff. But especially in the United States, the hoarders and the different TV shows showing us about how we've been spending all our money collecting stuff and then tripping over it, there are lots of people that have way too much junk. Simplify the marketing message so that it's clear and understandable. So 1-800-GOT-JUNK certainly gets into our head, and no matter what town you're in, you're going to start there, and you're going to hope there's a white truck with that big number on it that can come and pick up your junk. If they're not in your town, you're going to end up maybe with one of their competitors. But they're spreading out all over the place because the guys with the trucks in the towns have discovered their marketing wasn't getting heard above the noise. 1-800-GOT-JUNK was. They may as well affiliate with a bigger outfit. So that's the fourth way to check this. Are you a magnet for other companies that are similar to want to affiliate with you? You don't necessarily have to be an acquisition company or a franchise or a licensee. I'd like you to just think about, though, are you getting approached by employees who want to work for you? Are you getting approached by small companies that can see, boy, you got something cooking here. Your marketing has some momentum. Your message is clear. You go to the top of the search engines without a lot of work. You may not be perfect, but are you getting approached by other companies as for them to be potential acquisitions? That's a lot less money than having to, you know, search and find somebody to find you someone to buy or, you know, search for you to have employees. There's a question there. If you're not getting resumes when there's such a high unemployment rate, why not? What is there about the business that you and your personality and how it's conveyed and what it seems like that you don't look like a desirable employer? Why not? If you're doing something cool, if you have filled that blue ocean with a new product that is needed, that people have a problem and they really want your solution. There's an energy to that. You're doing something. You're going somewhere. You're growing. Even mentally, it's not just numbers. It forces new technologies. It forces learning. It's got energy. So do the gut check about energy and look at your desk, especially in an unemployment rate the way it is. If you're not getting resumes coming to you, if you're not getting people wanting you to buy their companies, why not? It's related to the product that you're choosing and the mindset of, are you doing something that is different from what everybody else does, or are you just working very, very hard to do the same thing everybody else is doing a little bit easier? All right, I'm going to take a break, because what I'm going to do after the break, I want to introduce you to somebody who walks the talk. I want you to picture this before we go to the break, though. Picture the guy. He's in the Army. He's in Operation Desert Storm in 1991. Even earned the Bronze Star. And, he's got a BA in English from Tulane. And, it's a bright guy. And he travels and he meets a woman and they can't speak the same language. I want you to hear his journey. That sound like a guy who's going to be differentiating his business? Wait till you hear it. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back on our topic for the day, which is true differentiation doesn't just happen. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about true differentiation doesn't just happen, it's a mindset. In the opening segment, you heard me talk about make sure you're looking for problems where people are complaining and truly have a need. Look at your marketing to make sure that there's some pull. And if you're not getting resumes and people wanting you to buy their companies, how come? Because the toughest way to be in business these days is to try to do what everybody else does, just a little bit better, and push that rock uphill. But maybe it might be better to have a magnet and do something a little differently. So I want to introduce you to Smith Ewell. You there, Smith?
I sure am.
I love your name.
It's a little different.
It is. All right, so now you're the CEO of We Localize, right? Am I saying that right?
That's correct.
I love the name because it really says, it makes you think. It goes, okay, now we, there's a group doing this. And we localize means that we're going to make it feel like it's comfortable to the people in a local area, right?
That's right. It is exactly what we do.
And it spikes your, piques your interest, like, wait a minute, how do you do that? Do you make people dress certain ways? Or, or do you deal with language? And it makes you curious about what this company does. All right, so brag to me, what does We Localize do?
Well, first of all, I guess it was because I was named Smith, to your point. It is sort of unusual. So from that point on, you might say it was in my genes, so to speak, to look at ways we could do things differently. And when I went to look at naming the company, when I went to look at how we were going to focus as a company, that was first and foremost in my mind. How we were going to take what everybody else was doing, and instead of trying to do it better than they were doing, do something different and be better as a result. So
that mindset from the beginning. Now, you started, was it called We Localized in 1997 when you founded it?
No, it wasn't.
Ooh.
We were constantly focusing in and trying to be different at each turn. When I first started, we were much, much more broad. And
what did you do initially? Let's hear the journey. When you started this, it was some kind of a bulletin board? Import-export bulletin board? Did I hear you right?
Even going a little earlier than that, you might say I got into the business because my wife and I did not have a common language when we met.
Yeah.
So we naturally had a need for translation. And even more so, being in Germany, I was stationed in Germany, I saw that the whole world truly doesn't speak English like a lot of us believe.
Yeah.
So that was the general need.
You know, all those bad jokes about, you know, who's not bilingual, they must be an American, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. It's sad.
So that was the general premise, and we started by helping businesses go international. We created a site on the Internet called the Import-Export Bulletin Board, which we were hoping to market to firms going international, mm-hmm. and it started to grow from there.
Mm-hmm. And when did We Localize happen? When did it turn into that?
Well, people ask us, what do you owe your success to?
Yeah, what happened?
We have done a good job. We certainly haven't done everything right over the years, but one thing we've done pretty well is follow our customers. So at the very start, we had some customers knock on the door, and they were asking for localization services.
Did you even know what they meant? I mean, you know, when you say a customer knocked on the door, if I remember right, Computer Associates, you know, was like a first customer, right?
That's right.
And you know, a little guy knocks on the door and says, we want to have you help us with localization.
Yeah, just a little multi-billion-dollar guy. Knocks
a lucky son of a gun, huh?
Knocks on my front door of the house because I was still in my basement at the time.
Did you even know what they meant?
I honestly did not. I'd never heard of the word localization before and never had any experience with software localization.
But they found you, though, through this import-export bulletin board. So apparently the magnet was there.
Yes, we did a good job of internet marketing right at the start, and we were in the top search engines long before many competitors even started to look at search engine optimization.
Yeah, 97 is a long, long time ago in internet years, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay, so now you're a little tiny company at the time. How did you, you know, they wanted 6 languages in 6 weeks kind of thing. How did you do that?
Well, we had to hustle, and being that small and trying to make ends meet and put food on the table, you generally say yes to things that you think are achievable, and you certainly hope they are, and then you hustle to get them done. And that's exactly what we had to do, is go out and find the resources, recruit them, vet them, test them, get them into the production line and make it happen, and we were able to do it.
In some ways, when I listen to your story, you know, that can-do spirit of, okay, whatever the customer needs, we're going to be the ones that are going to safely find them the good people, make sure the software is right. You know, we're going to be a buffer and protect the client and get what they need no matter what, so that you take a lot of responsibility. Do I hear you right?
Yes, and that's definitely some of the things that I learned while I was in the Army, that if you take responsibility and listen to your clients, mm-hmm. they'll be clients hopefully forever. My first client, CA, is still one of our biggest clients. 13 years later, my second client was Cisco. They're still one of our biggest clients 13 years later, and we've just been listening to them the whole time and reacting to their needs.
And so the audience hears this. You know, 13 years later, you're a $60 million company with 8 locations in the U.S., Ireland, Germany, Japan, and China.
That's right.
So, I mean, this has been one hell of a journey here.
Oh, it's been fantastic.
And I've seen a lot of people go into the translation space, and they think it's just about the language and perfecting, you know, the perfectness of the translation. And I think what I hear, it goes back to where's the pain and the frustration of those big companies. They go, all right, well, we can get translation help almost anywhere. But they can't get that hustle, that, you know, being good for your word, showing up and being consistent. Because the track record in your industry is they have some translators and they're only there for a few months or a year, and then they got to go and shop and find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do to deserve the retained business? Tell us about that part.
Well, I really stress in our organization, both at the start and throughout to now, that we have to be known for delivering on our promises.
Mm-hmm.
And even more importantly, we have to be known as a company that reacts properly when something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I preach to our staff that if we make a mistake, which we do, we're not perfect, that we'd be totally transparent about it.
Mm-hmm.
Call out why the mistake happened. What are we going to do to fix it? And then fix it. And if you deliver on that for a customer, naturally, they're going to respect that, they're going to trust that, and they will be a customer for life.
Now, in your opinion, why is there so much arrogance in some of the people that are doing translation? You know, they don't have the attitude you just described. Why is that?
Well, in the Army, we used to call it courage. In my opinion, you know, courage is a willingness to face the music.
Yeah.
If you're willing to step up in front of the customer and raise your hand and admit that you made a mistake and this
mm-hmm.
is how you're going to fix it, people just don't have the courage to do that, unfortunately. Unfortunately, many people take the easy way out or the shortcut and try to cover it up or hide it or hope somebody doesn't catch it.
Oh, a lot of the translators I've dealt with, they act like you're supposed to feel so lucky that they're in your presence and you know, they're going to get you the translation when they get it and take their time. They act like they're the only people in the world that could potentially do it.
Well, there are a lot of great, fantastic translators out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that, but in the industry, that is one of your reasons that you've done well.
Well, I think to a large extent, what firms like mine do is manage all of those resources. So
yeah.
It's our responsibility to first of all, the translators aren't perfect either. So we have to be able to catch anything that goes wrong before
mm-hmm.
it goes to the client.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do a good job of that, we're to blame for that, and we need to raise our hand and explain why it happened and fix it.
So is one of the secrets to your success that account management, maybe the project managers, the account managers, something like that?
Absolutely. Anyone you're working with day to day, you're mm-hmm. going to depend upon the trust of the relationship you have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they've got high integrity, if they're willing to stand up and take responsibility, then you're going to give them more business. And it's that frontline day-to-day person who you come to rely on, that project or program manager, which
yeah.
becomes so important.
Now, was your company ever too small to do these big jobs you were swallowing?
Well, we stretched right from the start. That first CA job, there's no doubt about it. Now, we were able to deliver on that, and over the years, we were pushed by certain clients that really taxed our resources, and we had to grow to support those. We tried to be as transparent as possible
mm-hmm.
In situations where we needed more time or we needed more money to do it correctly. Sometimes that came up a little bit short in certain areas. Again, we're not perfect, but it's been 13 years of steady growth with clients like CA and Cisco and others, and we expect 13 more.
Now, if I understand it right, the kind of services you do now, the automation of it is so stunning. Do you have like Google as a client, for example, right?
That's right. If you take, for example...
Yeah, tell me what you do for them.
Well, if you take, for example, YouTube.
Yeah.
And when you go onto YouTube, and let's say you're sitting in China, or you're sitting in Germany or Japan or France, naturally you're going to expect everything you see on the screen to be in your language, to be in French, to be in German. And we are... one of the companies that does that for them and provides that translation, provides everything else around the translation to make it possible to see it in your language whenever you choose at any point in time on any device.
And that's intense. Because, I mean, you're talking about instant and you're talking about multiple languages and the biggest company out there.
Well, it's that last point which becomes so challenging.
I bet.
Any language on any device at any time of day, anywhere in the world.
Almost takes your breath away.
Well, it's amazing when you think that there are just literally over 100 languages you might be translating into. There could be thousands of people.
Yeah.
In the Google example, at any point in time, we would have thousands of people around the world working on projects and getting translations out the door, in some cases 24/7.
All right, I want my audience to let that in, because that type of intensity is one of the reasons that people slow their growth down and don't respond and fill the voids. You know, that scale is pretty tough to take. Let's take a break, and we'll talk about how you handle that. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Amble. We'll be right back with True Differentiation. Done, just happened.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. The experts are here. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams? Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and today we're talking about true differentiation. Doesn't just happen. And my guest today is Smith Ewell of We Localize Incorporated. And this is a $60 million industry leader in translation. But, you know, come on, it isn't just somebody sitting there translating an article and sitting at the desk, not the old way. We're talking about, where does Google go when it wants to have 100 languages translated so that when everybody in the world goes online and they want it in their language instantly, these guys are among the people that are doing it. Doesn't that take your breath away? The instantaneous, everywhere kind of mentality. Wow. So I want to talk to you, Smith, about, you know, how are you doing this? Let me ask a couple of questions. How are you financing the growth of this thing?
Well, fortunately, over the years, we've been able to finance it through only one round of investment. That was 10 years ago.
No kidding.
We still got a very happy partner there. And we've been profitable and able to reinvest those profits in the acquisitions we've made over the years.
Were you hit hard during some of the recessions like 2001 and 2008?
We were. We had to cut the company back in 2001, more than half. And
wow.
It wasn't that significant in 2008, but we did have to make some cuts then also.
Mm-hmm.
And those
are tough. You're one of those guys that kind of makes the tough decisions quickly?
I would say that's also part of our success. We did not hesitate in 2001. We cut early. We cut deep. Extremely mm-hmm. difficult to do.
It's an awful feeling.
It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But we made those choices, and as a result, we didn't run out of money.
Yeah, so one of the patterns I've noticed in guests, the ones that are committed to being a leader in an industry and this blue ocean thing, of being the one that you can count on, they're also very careful with money. They understand you have to be profitable, and just doing it and hoping isn't enough. There's something about that type of industry leader. They're very responsible about money.
Well, absolutely. Once the money's gone out the door, you can never get it back.
Nah. It's like airplane seats taken off empty. You know, it, mm-hmm. you can't get the inventory back. Right now, and one of the limitations to your business might be the people. You know, you're talking translation. It's not all automated, right?
Correct. Correct.
So isn't that one of the demands is always finding another translator somewhere?
Well, it's a critical demand, and we need quality translators who are used to translating in this new world of high-velocity work, streaming, you know, not necessarily a defined project, but work that's always on and on demand.
Yeah, but the bottomless pit. I mean, it just comes in all the time.
It
so
is.
Where do you, how do you do
companies.
That? How do you find people?
Well, we've got an extensive vendor management arm in the company that's recruiting and qualifying every day and bringing on new resources, and they do a great job there. But there's a dearth of resources out there in the world right now that can really be successful in this high velocity environment. So that's a challenge.
Yeah, I know some academic people, for example, they could do translations, but oh my God, they'd be so snail slow compared to what you would need.
And just because you don't have the time to do a lot of the other conventional type process steps,
mm-hmm.
getting comfortable with that and being able to deliver in that environment is a challenge.
Now, you mentioned that you did some acquisitions. Were some of them search firms or companies that could help you find bodies, you know, people to do translation?
Well, they were firms that had offices in these countries that would help us find more people locally. All of our translations done in-country mm-hmm. by professional translators who were born there and have got all of the native speak as part of their lives there. So
mm-hmm.
many of the acquisitions were geared towards that. We've got in-house French, German, Japanese, and Chinese translators who all came through acquisitions in those markets.
You know, I found that when I was growing, I have six companies, and one of them grew internationally as a service firm, and I found that I needed to bring some from the home office to bring the technology, to bring the approach. But if you didn't have locals working for you, it wasn't going to play to the customers. It wasn't going to be translated in behavior, let alone language. You know, you need that mix.
Absolutely. That's why it's called localization.
Yeah, yeah, it matters. You know, the rainmaker coming in, that's fine. But you also need the pathfinder that's going to make it feel like it's, you know, it's real and local and matters to people.
Absolutely.
What's been the biggest execution issue for you, you know, like delivery? Has there been an example of something that was really a challenge?
Well, there's been challenges over the years, probably none greater than the challenge we face now in everything moving along so much faster in an always on-demand environment and be able to keep up with that. That is just remarkably challenging because all of the materials that our clients, these clients who are online at least, those materials are online and available at any point in time and are constantly changing. And how do you keep up with the changes? Another example would be iTunes. So we do the translation for iTunes. Well, iTunes is changing every hour.
Yes.
How do you keep up with that? And
well, tell me how you keep up with it. Do you have certain kinds of meetings or certain decision-making flow? How do you do it?
Well, the technology is absolutely critical. So you've got to be able to provide process automation for various steps and various workflows. And we've got a piece of technology called GlobalSight, which assists in that process. And then the resources, as we talked about before, who are familiar and trained in using the technology and are comfortable in that on-demand environment.
All right. So your company is this hub of hustle and make things happen. It's an attitude. And you have capabilities in translation. Did you have to find technology partners to be the kind of the third leg of the stool?
We did. We partnered with GlobalSight years ago, 10 years ago. So we knew the company.
Mm-hmm.
And when the company was available for sale back in 2008, we went ahead and acquired the company.
Oh, no kidding. You acquired them. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you have all three of the legs of the stool, you know, as yours now.
We do, yes.
Yeah, that's it. I find some people get in trouble because they'll have a joint venture with a technology partner, and then it's still not quite committed enough.
No, I've found the same thing through partnerships over the years. They're not quite there.
Yeah. Did you have any resistance in their part to being bought, or were they looking?
At the time, it was a company called Transware, and they were having trouble, so they were looking around.
Oh, well, that was fortunate. I've seen some people where it's the opposite, where they can tell that that's the company they need. And they need to have more control, and whoever the owners are like trying to get too much money or trying to retain control, and it's just not, you know, it just doesn't come together at a key time.
Right. We saw some of that over the years. We acquired 9 companies over the years.
Did you really?
We probably looked at 10 times that many.
Well, that's a normal. That's very good. I'm glad you're saying it. I have guests that, like, you know, give us emails or calls, and they say, I'm looking at an acquisition, and we're going around and around and around. And my answer back is, okay, have you looked at 5, 6, 7 in addition to that one?
Mm-hmm.
Because you get over-invested in the answer, you know?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful.
Now, the acquisitions
that
you've done, are they all for talent? Are they all for technology? What?
They were all geared towards 3 things. We were looking to expand geography around the world, to build out a platform, which we've done. We were looking to bring in-house certain competencies, for example, those languages that I mentioned, also in other areas such as software engineering, software testing, other linguistic capabilities. And then finally, we were looking for key clients where these companies had relationships, but perhaps those clients had reached the limit of how far those small companies could go, and if we could offer those clients a bigger platform and greater capability, we could see them growing, and that's exactly what we saw.
Did you always see yourself as the president or CEO?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did, huh?
I did.
You knew this right from the beginning?
Yes, I definitely did.
Because a lot of people that go into this kind of work, they were either a translator or they were a technician or whatever, and they had to go through the career transformation to become a CEO. You didn't have to do that.
No, I had no experience in translation, so I was someone who had to sort of figure out how to make the different pieces fit together, and I enjoyed that part as a CEO, the strategy and the elements of really building a larger company. I was sort of very inspired by the challenge in doing that. Mm-hmm. So my goals were those right at the start.
But your BA is in English from Tulane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ironically, I always wanted my own business.
Did you?
But I never did take a business course. And
wow. Gates of you. You know what I mean? And, you know, for those who are wondering, I mean, this guy's won the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2004. And Deloitte & Touche's Technology Fast 50 program. He's been on an Inc. 500 winner in 2005 through 2010. I mean, you know, is a lot of this going to your head yet?
Well, no, I certainly hope not, and I very much try to avoid that.
How do you prevent
clear,
that?
Well, to be clear, that the success that I've had so far is due to the people that have been in this company. I mean,
all right,
then
give me an example of somebody who's stellar on your team, and you're so glad you found them.
Well, the entire management team that's in the company right now, if you take, for example, that company Transware, which owned GlobalSite, they were in trouble, and our COO, Eugene McGinney, was able to turn that company around in the span of 3 months.
Oh, wow.
A significantly money-losing operation to a profitable operation just in the 3-month time frame.
Yeah, so sometimes the COO title means magician.
Well, it's certain that quite a bit. He had a strong magic wand in that example.
Now, one of the things I would wonder about, and I'm going to have this sink into people over the break, because then we'll go into the last segment of the show. With all the automation that's going on, don't you run the risk that all this translation isn't going to be needed? That you know it's going to be automatically programmed in, and poof, you're going to be gone. No,
I don't think there's ever going to be, as maybe you've seen in the show Star Trek, a universal translator. There is a machine, a variety of machine translation capability available right now, and it's been available for a long time.
Yeah.
But language has such incredible nuance to it that machine translation can only go so far.
All the idioms of the American dialects. Yeah.
And when you've got a product such as an iTunes, which is so critical to the user, are you going to risk that with a less than stellar machine translation output?
No, it's like the people who were so afraid that everything would be paperless the minute we said that phrase.
Correct.
And you know, a lot of people are still buried in paper. 1-800 got junk picks up paper too.
Absolutely, but if
if anything, the machine translation capability is only expanding our market.
Isn't
because it makes
yep.
some things that perhaps you wouldn't have translated before because of the economics makes those more attainable.
Okay, so at the break, what we're going to do, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the future. I want to see what keeps Smith up at night. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Have you heard about sustainable investing? Simply put, it's investing in companies that commit to a resource to enhance the quality of life, so it is not depleted or permanently damaged. And that means that resource will be around to benefit for the future. Join host Kara McMillan for Demand More, a program that will take you behind the scenes of sustainable investing. You'll learn to create wealth and feel great about it. In this economic period, you can lead, follow, or run away. It's your choice. Tune in Tuesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about differentiation doesn't just happen. And I chose a guy that I think walks the talk. Smith Ewell's on the line with us of We Localize Incorporated. And what I like about them, it is not just about translation. It's also the hustle to make sure that these large corporate clients get what they need and can count on the vendor, and they push to really keep driving the technology faster and faster. My gosh, they're keeping up with the companies like Google. Think about that. So it isn't just translation. It's that commitment to being a leader in the industry. And I want that to sink in when you listen to this. Play this program back. Because, you know, back in the beginning of the program, I suggested to you, take a look at problems that are out there. Take a look at your marketing and see if it's got a pull to it. Look at if it's easy to understand, that what you're saying, you know, makes sense to people. And they say, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They have self-recognition when they look at your promotion. And then ask yourself, if people are applying to work with you, would they want their company sold to you? Remember what I said in the beginning? Now listen to what Smith Ewell has been saying. That's what's happening to them. Now the part is, okay, it works. Now it's like swallowing a watermelon when you have this much energy. At this point, after 13 years, it's a $60 million company, and they're running as fast as Google. Wow. Okay, Smith, I want to know how you keep up with all this. I want to know what you're thinking about in the future. What's your next big thing?
Well, it may sound crazy, but if I were going to offer any advice to your listeners, one of the first things you need to do is actually turn away business. And that might sound remarkable, but you cannot be all things to all clients.
Exactly.
And you need to be everything
yep.
to your key clients.
And that's
I took a, we took on a project this summer we should not have taken, and I've regretted it. We gave them back money, all that kind of stuff. We, you know, even after 38 years, it can happen to you. Yep.
We let go over 100 clients in the depth of the recession last year.
Did you really?
To focus in on our key clients, to focus in on how we were going to listen to their needs.
Yep.
And be different and be better out in the marketplace by responding to those needs.
All right, so another differentiator for you is that you went with market leaders.
Well, we chose clients who we thought we were going to be market leaders, and they chose us as well. It was
yep.
a two-way street
yep.
for the long-term future, and really focused in on what are these clients going to need.
Yep.
What do they need today? What are they going to need next year? What are they going to need 5 years from now?
And answer that. What are some of the things that you're looking into, you know, in the future? What's your next big thing?
Well, the next big thing for us is what I call on-demand translation.
Okay.
And what that involves is taking clients like a Google and an Apple, and we do work for Dell, for example, Dell.com.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these customers are now changing their models to where, for example, the iPhone, Apple's one of our customers,
yeah.
the iPhone doesn't even ship with a manual.
Yeah.
So a lot of the support material, a lot of what you see and the
mm-hmm.
material that comes along with the product is now all going online digital.
Yep.
And if anyone's going to access that at any point in time in any language, and not only that, interact with it.
Yep.
So static information is even going by the wayside. Customers expect to be able to interact with wikis, interact with blogs, interact with communities that are discussing the product.
I mean, well, you just think about the iPhone apps. I mean, and that phrase user experience comes to mind. It is so different now. We don't want to wait even for a manual.
No.
We want to be able to learn it on the fly.
You want to be able to type in what you're looking into a box, whether it be
mm-hmm.
the Google search box or be a search box inside of the
mm-hmm.
Site you're using. And you're going to expect that exactly what you're looking for
yep.
pops up in your language
yep.
and solves your problem right then and there.
And the immediacy of it, you know, assume somebody that's using it has absolutely no patience whatsoever is the premise.
If you don't get what you want, what
yep.
are you going to do? You're going to go to a competitor.
Yeah. And it's like McDonald's when it had the realization. It did some studies years ago that if somebody's standing at the front of their, you know, their counter and had to wait more than 11 seconds, you can assume that they're mad.
Whoa.
Well, now that's even shrunk.
Well, think of 11 seconds on a Google
site. I know, 11 seconds on a Google site is, you know, an eternity. But when they saw that, I mean, it affected their range of products, everything, and it was very, universe turning when they did that particular study. This is equivalent to that.
That universe is turning for us now.
Yes.
We grew up in a world of traditional product
mm-hmm.
projects where we'd get a certain amount of time. That first job for CA 13 years ago, I had 6 weeks to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was done. I waited a few months later for an update.
Wow.
Now the updates are happening every single day.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, you know, what keeps you up at night, that sentence that you just said?
Well, I think more than anything else, when I'm up at night or can't sleep, I'm going over in my mind what do customers want?
Right.
What do they want now? What do they want tomorrow? Are we listening to their needs? What are they really looking for?
And that's my question. That is interesting. One of my ways to thank the guests is to always ask you, what is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for customers? Are you looking for financing? Are you looking for employees? What are you looking for? What do you need?
Well, we need two simple things. We need ever greater numbers of the fantastic people we already have,
mm-hmm.
and the same thing for clients.
And where would somebody reach you? What's your contact information?
www.welocalize.com.
Now spell it out for people.
That's welocalize.com.
Okay.
Or you can reach us at our 800 number, which is 800-370-9515.
I appreciate you doing that. And for those of you who tend to want to contact me as the host instead of directly going to the guest, a lot of you do that. If you know my name, it's easy to get me. It's aldonna@ambler.com, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at A-M-B-L-E-R.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONNA. I own multiple companies, so if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you get.
All right. So I do want to make sure that we're focused on where you're headed. If you're, what kind of company do you think you're going to be having, say, 5 years from now? What's your vision?
We want to get to the top of the industry. So 5 years
you're not there now.
We'll need to be at 500. We're not there now, but we certainly want to get there.
Mm-hmm. So are you one of the people like that? Most of my guests are have $1 billion in the back of their head.
Well, I'd say 500 million in 5 years will do it.
Yeah. And what now? Based on what?
That's based on where some of our industry competition sits today, and how fast the industry generally is growing, because it's a very, very strongly growing industry.
Yeah, it is.
We're at 60 million now.
Yeah.
We plan to get there through continued growth with our existing customers and new customers, plus more acquisitions.
Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking about the another good book. I like to look for the good ones that help the guests and help the listeners. I think The Blueprint to a Billion, have you read that one?
I have not read that.
Oh, get that one, Smith. You'll love that. And one of the things that they're talking about in there is the board of directors,
mm-hmm.
because even the privately held companies, when they start looking at the board of advisors,
right.
can make a huge difference. Do you have a board right now?
We do, but it's a board that we need to expand to into the areas that you're talking about.
No surprise,
that
exactly.
That's critical.
No surprise. You're at 60 and you're moving really fast. That would be one of the things that you need to develop so you don't get blindsided, huh?
That's correct.
Because you've never had a business at $500 million, so how would you necessarily know what that feels like? And
We don't know what we don't know, as they say.
Exactly. And another thing is the types of financing. I've seen some people at that $50 million mark. They have to start looking at things like ESOPs and equity deals and, different combinations. Have you had to look at that yet?
We have, and because we've done one round of financing, we are going to be doing another round of financing to help us get to this next level above $100 million, and I'm sure there'll be even more after that.
All right, so another thing you're looking for is money.
That's correct.
Okay. So, all right. So you're not just looking for employees. You're looking for money.
We are. And
okay.
We've got some negotiations going on with some financing sources that we're quite happy with, and some good relationships with banks that mm-hmm. that have helped us over the years. So I don't expect that to be a problem.
Now, when somebody is considering applying for a job with a place like yours, what do they need to know about what it truly feels like to work there?
The way I often describe it is there's two types of businesses. The first type I would describe is a lifestyle business.
Yeah.
And that flows straight
down. That's like 98% of them.
It sure is, and it flows straight from the owners. And
yeah,
the owners' ambitions to create a comfortable lifestyle and good businesses as well. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
No, but it's also a lack of ambition, too, related to the scale of the business, it's, to have their career comfortable.
Well, that's definitely part of it, and that speaks to the second type, which I categorize as growth businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And with a growth business, whether you work in it, whether you run it, whether you started it, it all means one thing, mm-hmm. sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're growing, and to continue to grow, you've got to continue to sacrifice. It's mm-hmm. never even over.
And it's always about building value, and the entity itself is the goal, not the individual.
Correct. The
mm-hmm.
team, the company as a whole, and your part in that, and quite often, which is a definite strain on your personal life and your family
mm-hmm.
life. And that's where people choose to go the lifestyle route, because that works better for them.
Oh, and it's scary. I mean, if someone like in your role, who founded it and did as well as you have, to grow to $500 million or $1 billion, what kind of CEO, what kind of president, the succession issues come up, and they are not easy to deal with.
Well, that's a big challenge, but I'm inspired by that kind of challenge.
Cool.
I love to learn, I love challenge, and I want to find out how far I can go and how far the company can go.
Well, if you haven't checked out the Gazelles International Organization, look into it, Smith. They'd love to talk with you and exchange information with you, and if you haven't gone to one of their growth conferences, I would recommend it.
Okay, great, thanks.
Well, thank you for being such a good guest, and I'm going to end the program as I do every week with the tagline from my strategic planning business. It's my wish for you is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. And the secret is to reverse the phrase. You first have to know what drives your profitability. And if you're not differentiated, it's pretty hard to figure out what's driving profitability because you're struggling with it. Second thing is to be able to sustain it. So, for example, with Smith, when he's talking about it, it made sense and it's really important that the technology partners, they had to be able to control and understand and drive the technology. The the translation staff, the number of people that they're working with, and the focus on some key customers sustains the profitability. Then you look at the growth strategies, things like acquisitions, when would they do that, the locations that they would have, how much is organic and how much is acquisition, the growth financing, all those techniques matter only after you've figured out the profitability and how to sustain it. Once you've got that, then you can step on the gas and accelerate. And I'm seeing a little too many people that think they're just going to jump to fast growth their business. Nah, figure out what drives the profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Deldonna Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of the Growth Strategist. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.